Friends, notice how strange and very different the resurrection accounts are than anything else in the Bible, or for that matter, anything else in human life. Very different. Very, very different. And they aren't just more really cool stories to complete some narrative. These things that we see, these stories, that things are forever changed. They're not just words on a page, right, to entertain us or to educate us. Things are forever changed by the Word of God. And something is radically different, especially in these resurrection accounts. There's now a way out of slavery to sin and death. That's the difference. That's the fundamental difference. Yes, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed and is now risen from the dead. Alleluia. He has exploded forth from the tomb victorious and offers a marvelous new life in Him to all who are willing to walk with Him and surrender to Him instead of to the things of this world. And that's what Easter is all about, brothers and sisters. That's what it's all about. His victory isn't just a subtle one. Those of you that know anything about the Shroud of Turin maybe have seen it or seen one of the displays throughout the world. I think they have a few in the United States. You know, from the scientists have studied this, people get PhDs in studying the Shroud nowadays. And we don't even have enough energy in the world today, much less when Christ walked the earth, to produce enough light. The backlight behind Jesus on the Shroud of Turin, that's what creates the image. We don't even have enough power now, not even close to enough power, to create that much light energy. It was a miraculous bursting forth, and it's an explosion. Not subtle. Not at all, friends. Nor is life in Him a subtle departure from life in the world. Easter is meant to be shocking, earth-shattering, a revolution for us to rejoice in. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to rattle our cages, so to speak, shake us up. But we're so used to talk about the resurrection. We hear about these things all the time. This parish is named Resurrection, right? So we can become desensitized to the profundity of Christ's victory. Lose sight of how amazing and important it is. Now, we also may not fully embrace this good news because we don't fully understand it. And we can't fully understand it, this side of heaven. The disciples in today's gospel passage aren't desensitized at all. That's not the problem, right? They're astounded and confused as they encounter the resurrection for the first time. Yes, Jesus has mentioned things like this before, but He mentioned a lot of things to them, and they weren't ready to process them fully yet. So they just don't know what to think or do, since this is so new, it's unexpected, it's unprecedented. They are utterly amazed that Christ's dead body is not there. They go and they look and they just don't know what to think. And this is kind of a worldly way of thinking. And that's not bad in their case, because what would they think, right? This is nothing like this has ever happened before. But it is a worldly way of thinking. And it's very reasonable on a human level, but there's more. Despite what Christ had told them, we heard they did not yet understand the scripture that He had to rise from the dead. He told them this numerous times, but they weren't able yet. Christ doesn't want these disciples to continue living in the tomb of earthly life. That's what's going on here. He's calling them to an entirely new life in Him. And they will understand in due time. And we know, if you read Peter, you read 1 Peter, you know, that's the mature Peter, probably decades after this happened. He gets it, right? Christ wants the same for us too, this entirely new life in Him, brothers and sisters. You don't have to continue living in the tomb of your sins and struggles. You can choose to live there, but Christ offers you something marvelously different. That's what He wants for you, but you have to choose it. He's not going to force it on you. You don't have to live in that tomb. He wants to burst through all of your worldly ways of thinking and living. Even the good ones, like we see with the disciples here. Those aren't evil thoughts that they had, right? But yes, He wants to burst through all of that so you can walk with Him in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's what He desires for all of us. Now, the great St. Paul, of course, is no stranger to all of this, right? To the radical and explosive reality of the resurrection, as we see in today's second reading. There's actually two options for the second reading, and each Easter I can't help but preach on both of them. We heard the one from Colossians first, right? Paul says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. Now, he's not saying despise the things of earth, but prioritize the things of heaven over the things of earth. That's what Paul's getting at. If then you were raised with Christ, well, all of us who have been baptized have been raised with Christ. We died with him. We had seven people that died with him in the water last night, rose to new life in holy baptism. That's happened to all of us, all of the baptized. So then seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and he's offering everything to us, friends, everything, this new life in him. So yes, there it is, the radical hidden life that we're called to in Christ as members of his mystical body. And this isn't life, I kind of alluded to it earlier, it's not just a little better than life as we know it, not just a lot better than life as we know it. It far exceeds that, far exceeds anything that you can imagine. Is more amazing than anything you can imagine what Christ desires for you. But in order to live it, you must first separate yourself from life as you know it. It doesn't mean despise life as you know it, but you have to separate yourself and choose life in Christ. For, yes, Paul says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in God, tucked within the bosom of the Father, with the fiery heart of Jesus, the Holy Spirit there amidst you. That's the life you're called to live. Indeed, we've put on the new man, which Paul mentions elsewhere, in baptism. We put on the new man, cast aside the old man, and Christ has set us on a new path of freedom. That glorious freedom of the children of God, right? We just have to keep choosing it. It's not just like a one-time blip on the map. Okay, baptized, check it off, forget about it. We have to keep choosing to live in these baptismal graces. Now, there's that second option for today. It's from 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, clear out the old yeast, similar to the old man, right? Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. So you're not burdened by the leaven of the things of this world that pull you away from the Lord. That's what he's getting at. But also, when he mentions unleavened, we think, ding, 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 Eucharist, right? The unleavened bread that is consecrated. Jesus consecrated bread at the Last Supper, unleavened bread. We still do the same thing today. It becomes the precious body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, right? So there's some depth to what Christ is saying here, inasmuch as you are unleavened. Then he continues, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness. That's the old man. That's our sinfulness and darkness. So not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread of the Eucharist, which draws us into the truth. Jesus is the truth, right? We become him when we receive him. We live in sincerity, sincere openness to the Lord and to our brothers and sisters. That's how we're meant to live, brothers and sisters. Cast aside that old yeast. And let's be that unleavened freshness that Christ wants us to be. That old stuff really needs to be cast entirely aside so that you won't go back to the tomb, but instead rise to new life in Christ each day as you were created to do. That's what God created every single one of us to do, is to live this beautiful life in Christ. Now, I also can't help but invoke Paul's words from last night, from the Easter Vigil. It's from Romans chapter 6, his wonderful teaching on baptism. He says, death no longer has power over him. He's talking about Jesus. Death no longer has power over him. He died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. He doesn't live for any worldly criteria. He doesn't live for March Madness. He doesn't live for Easter meals. He doesn't live for whatever it might be. Not that any of those things are bad, but he lives for God, for relationship with God. That's what he lives for, first and foremost. So he says, consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Marvelous stuff. This is really, really rich. Yet, Even though Christ has won the victory for us, and his infinite power and glory is readily available to us. Readily available. It's right there. He's offering it all to us, especially in the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, right? He wants to lead us in the final exodus from slavery to sin and darkness in this world to the glorious freedom of the children of God in heaven. He wants us to even taste it now as we're journeying with him. He offers all this to us, and yet we fall into the same trap of going back to the tomb, our own tomb. We keep falling back into that. Why? Well, again, we need to choose Christ every day, all day. That's how we live in Christ. That's how we prevent the contagion of the world from crowding into our hearts and our minds. Friends, allow him to amaze and astound you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to knock your socks off. And then he wants to guide you to this entirely new life in him. He so deeply yearns for it. As a matter of fact, he went all the way to the cross and died for it, right? Because he knows you can't handle the circumstances of your life. Neither can I. But he can. He wants to take it all on for us. And so he calls you so tenderly, so eagerly. The Hound of Heaven, you may have heard Christ referred to as. Always calling you, always offering his grace and his mercy. Always ready to take you back and restore you to justice. No matter how far you've strayed away. He's always there waiting to take you back. And this is a process of ongoing conversion, allowing him to transform us from the inside out. And that's what living out our baptism is. It's going to Mass every Sunday and on holy days. It's going to confession regularly. It's living a life of daily prayer, spending intimate time with him, and allowing him to lead us out and serve our brothers and sisters. If only this church was packed for every Mass, every Sunday. What if it was this packed for daily Mass? What if we had to build another church because there were so many people that were coming? Wouldn't that be amazing? What do you think would happen to this community? What do you think would happen to this state? Be on fire. Be on fire, brothers and sisters. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. And that's what we want deep in our hearts too. Okay, friends, let's wrap this up here now. Please, don't go looking for the living one among the dead. Don't do it. Now, I'm quoting here from, it's the gospel passage that we'll hear next year at the Easter Vigil from Luke. The young man says to Mary Magdalene, you know, why are you looking for the living one, Jesus, among the dead, in the tomb? He's not there. You're not going to find him there. And if you go looking there, you're going to end up back in your old ways. Those ways of, that's the old yeast, right, of wickedness and malice. That's the tomb. That's your tomb of sin and darkness. So don't go there. Don't run from this strange new life that Christ offers you. It is strange in many respects. We never quite know what he's up to. But instead, allow him to explode forth in your heart and burst through all, everything that holds you back. He's going to do that with the cross, to be sure. That's his instrument. That's his weapon that he used to shatter sin and death. So he's going to lead you to the cross with him. But it's such a beautiful life. And then you can truly be dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus, as Paul encourages us. Brothers and sisters, allow his shocking, earth-shattering victory to be ever present in your hearts so that you can leave the tomb behind and forever walk in resurrection glory. This is the life you were created for. Exactly what you were made for. So embrace it. Live it. Rejoice in it. Transform the world through it, brothers and sisters. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Happy Easter.